As I shared earlier, we're one family member short this morning. Little Luke Hill is recovering from an illness, and he's, you know, embraced this flu in some ways with mixed emotions. I took him to the doctor Thursday, and he was devastated to hear that he would have to miss 2 days of school as a result of this illness. You can imagine the lamenting and fearful response that he had, almost tearful, that he would have to cut school for a couple of days. But really, all that was okay to stomach, but he didn't like the fact that he had to miss baseball practice in the midst of that. With that illness, with that respite, came some good things and some bad things. Well, just last evening, we've had to keep Luke from participating in some things that he would rather do. And Manya and I planned on going out and having a nice steak dinner last night. And Luke thought that that would be a good opportunity for him to make his first journey out in public again now that he was feeling better. He thought a nice steak dinner would be a great recipe for helping him to get fully nourished and strengthened and restored to good health. But we had to explain to him in a very loving way that he wasn't invited. This was just a mama and daddy event. Noah sent us a text message. We had asked Noah if he would be so kind to stay home with Luke while we went out to dinner, and then we'd be back shortly. He said, sure. And then he said, I may want to go with y'all. So Mom had to break the news again. She's much more genteel with her tone of voice than I am. And she explained to Noah that once again, in addition to Luke, he wasn't invited. This was just a mama and daddy date. Y'all believe that, young folks? Mamas and daddies go on dates too? How about that? And we went to our nice date, and Luke text message Manya 17 times while we were eating with questions and appeal for help and support along the household in that 45 minutes that we were gone. But it was a nice, beautiful evening, and we enjoyed being together. But weren't we mean? Isn't that cold? Can you imagine that we two cold-hearted parents would go and do something without our kids? And even when they asked, we said, no, you're not invited. Shame on me. Y'all gonna be praying for the pastor, aren't you? And his wife. Unless you've lived long enough as a married couple or in other relationships in your life, it doesn't have to be a married relationship or even a sweetheart relationship, but any of those relationships that we share in as human people, people of faith, and just folks trying to get along in a hard world, we know that it's important at times just to get away from the norm, to get away from the distractions, to have intimate conversation with those that we value, to spend one-on-one time with those who we cherish. It speaks of love. It communicates often more of what we feel about a person than anything we could say when we give them our time, right? And such was the case for us last evening. Manya and I, as husband and wife, or those intimately engaged in the lives of another, we needed that time to offer that affection to each other. And the truth is, you know, the truth is the boys didn't make out so badly. As we tried to explain it, your goal, Luke, in life is for your mom and daddy to be happy and share a happy home with you. And for that to be happening, sometimes we have to get away. For us to pour love and strength and grace into your life, we have to have our own relationship refueled at times. He wasn't buying it too well, though. Y'all know it? The child psychology wasn't working on Luke. But something else happened. You know what? When Manya and I went away on our steak dinner, we came home, and guess what? We brought some back with us. Luke made out after all. He got to enjoy a nice steak dinner, even though he had to what? He had to wait just a little longer than he would have liked. We can relate to that, can't we? So often in our journey of life and faith, we don't like to wait. We are like my son Luke, who want what we want now. We want it how we want it, when we want it, where we want it, and with who we want it. That's our appeal so often in prayer, right? Not just in human relationships, but in the relationship with the one who created us, who made us, who saved us. We cry out for what we want. And we don't like to wait. We don't communicate so much what the choir sang to us this morning or what Sharon read. Those who wait on the Lord, isn't that what we sang? Those who wait on the Lord, isn't that what Sharon read? Will find their strength renewed, their lives restored. You know, in our scripture today, I don't know about you all, but I must confess that I find a portion of this text a little troubling. And the part that I find most troubling is where it tells us that as evening came, there in verse 32 through 34, as evening came, the writer here, Mark, tells us they brought to him all who were sick. Didn't say just some. It says all who were sick or possessed with demons were brought to Jesus. And here it continues by saying the whole city. The whole city was gathered around his door. And all who were sick were there or in need of what they wanted. Like we, in the spirit of my son Luke, we want what we want, when we want it, and when we need it, right? They were all there with their needs. And then what happened? Verse 34 tells us, he cured many who were sick. And he cast out many demons. Now I find that word many troubling there. Because it said all came seeking restoration, but he only restored some. Everyone didn't get their prayers answered the way they wanted and when they wanted. And it raises in our minds, in our faith, questions. Questions of why. Frustrations as we find as family members, even us adult folks, not just the young children, who don't understand why they don't always get what they want when they want it. Sometimes as children of the faith, we can have those same frustrations, can't we? We certainly can have those frustrations when we hear words of Scripture spoken in the Gospel of John, where in chapter 15 of that beautiful appeal of the evangelist, John says this. Hear these words, church. John says, if you abide in me, you can ask whatever you wish. He's given us a blank check there. He says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And maybe just as troubling is the fact that as our writer covers here today, he says that John was present when Jesus was restoring many, not all. And then John went on to say, ask anything you want and he'll do it. Well, so often we ask and we don't get it when we want or how we want. As people of faith, as family members, as the church. Just this week, I received a call at the church, and a young man was troubled. He was seeking help. He was struggling from addictions that he'd been wrestling with for years. And he finally seemed as though he'd hit rock bottom and was crying out for help. He said, "I'm trying to get into a recovery program." He said, "It costs $1,600 and I have $500, but I don't have everything I need. Can you help me?" And you know, on the surface, I wanted to say yes. Let me write the check. Let me do it right now. Let me get you some help. You're asking in the Spirit of the Lord, let me restore you through the grace of God. But I paused long enough to consider that sometimes the quick yes isn't the best answer. Sometimes as people of faith, we have to pause long enough to listen to not only the appeals outside our door, as Jesus did in the first century in our text today, but also listen for the voice of God. Sometimes the quick answer of yes isn't the restoration that we need and the long-term healing that we can offer as the church. Sure, throwing money at any situation makes us feel better. But sometimes our quick reaction can offer just as much destruction as it can healing to people struggling with addictions or brokenness in their life. So rather than just acting quickly, I took the time to call his family, to come in contact with intimate members who knew his history, who knew his story, so that we could work together and try to develop a plan for restoration for this one who was crying out for help. But I still struggled, and I still wrestled with the pain of having to say no to his question and answering what he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted it. That's the wrestle that we feel as people of faith, as parents, isn't it? Of those who love our children and embrace them and want to provide them a great loving home, we never enjoy saying no. But as those who love and nurture those around us, we know that it's important at times. If we don't at least say no, we say in somehow, "Not right now." That was the spirit of what Manya and I communicated to our sons last evening. Your fulfillment will come. You're going to be nourished with this meal too, but you have to wait just a moment. For some time in our waiting, the Lord restores us in ways that we could not have imagined in our peril. So how do we know when to say no? When to say, "Not right now," and when to say yes? What is the guidance for us as people of faith, as leaders in the church, when people come knocking at our door, as they did in this text for Jesus today? They were standing right outside the door, the text tells us, of Simon's home. And Jesus had a choice to make. Do I restore them all right now, or do I go on to another place and continue to do ministry other places as well? There's a hint for us in our text of how we make those decisions as people of love, as parents, as respectful people of the faith. How do we live out our faith in ways that most closely reflect the love of Jesus? How do we do it? The hint of our text is that in every way we can, friends, we take on the Spirit of Jesus. What was that spirit? Our scripture transitions from these miracles to this in verse 35. In the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. How do we find the answers to our life? How do we search out the difference of when it's no and when it's yes and when it's not right now? We in the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ surrender daily and often, and in the words of Paul, without ceasing in prayer and petition to the wisdom of our Lord. We pray, church. We pray with every decision we make, parents. We pray and we cry out to God, God, give me the wisdom and the truth and the strength to be only a reflection of your grace and goodness in this world. We pray. That's the spirit that Jesus embraced. Seeking out the wisdom to minister to people in need, he petitioned the grace and love of his Father. Friends, that's available to us all. How do we make better decisions as we gather tomorrow in presbytery meetings? How do we make better decisions as leaders of a session of this church? How do we harness the resources of this congregation and conduct ourselves in ministries that uplift our community? How do we do it? We do it through prayer. We cry out for the wisdom of the Lord in all of our life, in all of our journeys. Our scripture continues with telling us that Jesus moved forward from that place to continually ministering to the world around him outside of his door. See, friends, that's the call of all of us. We in the spirit of Peter's mother-in-law in this text this morning, did you hear that great beginning of this text where she found herself restored, and what'd she do? She went forth and served those around her. That's what it means to be the church. We cry out in prayer for God to restore us, to heal us, to give us wisdom. And when we find ourselves restored, we respond in thanksgiving and serve the world around us. We're those who receive, and we're those who give. But in our prayer this morning, it's one thing when we find ourselves as the church, as the family, as the parent, being the one that at times has to say no. That's a good position sometimes to be in. But guess what? Sometimes we find ourselves in the position of the child, where we hear the no. And then how do we respond? It's not only us who make the decisions of how to be people of God's grace. But what do we do when God says to us, not right now? Do we wait in the spirit of the song that we sang this morning? Do we wait in the spirit of the prophet Isaiah and trust in the strength and grace of the Lord that will restore us on wings like eagles? See, I think the key to that is to hear not only the passage that we shared in from John chapter 15. Remember that text I told you? Where John says, those who abide in me can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John followed that up with these words in chapter 16. He said, in that day, in the day that you're fully restored, you will ask for nothing. See, I find in that words of life, I find in that the wisdom that John is saying to us. We as people of faith can ask for God's restoration and know with all faith and believing that it will come. He will answer our prayers. God's answer to us in our petitions when they're in connection with God's grace and in the name of Jesus will always be answered with a yes. But the truth is, they're not always answered when we want. how we want and where we want. Sometimes the answer is not right now. But as people of the faith, we have the promise of the words of the prophet Isaiah that says if we wait on the Lord, He will restore us. If we as people seeking the restoration that only God can give us, we'll find it in His grace, in His love, in His time. You know, I shared earlier with you about the young man who phoned me seeking for help this week. And one of the most troubling things that he said to me in that conversation was simply that, "Jody, I need help." And it hurt me. It plagued me as a pastor and as a person of faith to say, "No, I'm not going to give it how you want it and when you want it and instantly as you ask for it." But I spoke with that young man's father, and I called him just this morning on the way to church, and I spoke with his father again. You know what his father told me? He said, "Jody, I know you and your church will do anything you can to support him." And the truth is, they didn't need monetary support. They had the financial resources. What they needed was to know that someone cared. And someone would walk with them through this journey. And his father said to you, you know the instant resource that he reached out to and he asked you about, that wasn't where he really needed to be. We did a little more research, and he didn't need to be placed somewhere right that day. He's going to be placed in a faith-based recovery unit about a week from now. And we're going to begin that journey with him, with God, seeking restoration. See, that family lived the words of this text this day that says that God's answer is not always right now, but God's answer and restoration is sure for all of us. That family waited, and I waited with them in the spirit of a pastor this day and this week. And we found God's answer to be the gift of joy, life, and restoration from above. So join with me in praying for that family, for that young man, for that father, in praying for every decision that we make, that we may look like Jesus to a world outside our door, that His love may grow now and forever. Amen. This time, as people